Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Point of Sale, the retail supply chain show where we break down, of course, great retailers and the data and technology that move their supply chains. Now, today we're going to be diving into a number of topics. We've got some interesting news stories that I want to cover first. And then we're going to be talking about the good old ultra-fast delivery services that all of us were obsessed with throughout COVID. And we're going to talk about really where the funding is going to those companies in particular and the downfall that we've seen in their valuations over the past couple of years. So before we dive into that, though, again, we have some interesting news to hit on all types of areas. We're going to start here. Right here in my home state in particular. We're going to start, of course, with Amazon, who has now announced that they are moving one of their new robotics fulfillment centers to Detroit. Very excited about this. We're already seeing actually some actual car assembly jobs starting to leave the state as of probably a couple months ago now. So that was unfortunate to see, but it's great to see that there's still some investment here in this wonderful state of Michigan, pure Michigan, of course. And now what we're going to see out of this is about 823,000 square feet of robotics fulfillment centers here in Detroit. They're looking to actually focus more on regional hubs. Amazon in particular is really focused on bringing down the miles between their delivery locations and where their fulfillment centers are. So that means putting more of these locations in certain regions, in particular, Michigan is one of them. That's going to support about 10 different fulfillment and sortation centers and create about 13 delivery stations throughout Michigan, too. And just because it's robotics, again, does not mean there's going to be no human employees at all in there. That's the opposite of what's true. Again, remember the point of investing in robotics is that we get rid of the minutiae and allow more of our human capital or human employees to take over more management positions and hires career or salary goals and roles as well. So in particular, they're going to be hiring about 1,200 employees throughout this facility and throughout those centers as well. And really to focus on the technology behind their order fulfillment. Now, the Detroit mayor is very pumped about this. Do not blame him for that. Mike Dugan is very happy with Amazon's commitment towards this site. Again, if you are a Michigan resident or have been to Detroit, you understand that there's a lot of room and a lot of space for, honestly, more companies to move here. There's a number of neighborhoods that have been, honestly, not lived in for quite some time. And so it's really great as Michigan residents to see that we are going to continue to get investment from large corporations like Amazon and create some more jobs here in the state, too. Especially, like I said, when we've seen more on the car side that's been more traditional towards Michigan employment starting to lead the state a little bit too. What's also great about this is Amazon is going to give back to their communities. Now, I don't want to take this time to go back and forth on Amazon's role in communities and how they might hurt or harm the tax aspect of certain communities as well. That's a discussion for another day. But happy to see that not only they're bringing these 1,200 jobs, this very large fulfillment center, but they have, with this announcement, actually announced two more community parks that they're going to build and a new state-of-the-art transit center for Detroit Department of Transportation riders, which is big. I mean, for honestly, that's really some infrastructure that's quite needed in the area. And I assume that, right, from Amazon's perspective, they want to invest in the transportation of those 1,200 employees. So the fact that they are thinking about the community and building parks nearby too, and again, in an area that quite could really resonate with the new parks and having that investment in their community as a whole is really great too. Now, if you check out the article, you get some behind the scenes look from Amazon Detroit's assistant general manager and showcasing the different roles that are going to be behind that speedy delivery. Again, these are going to be more management style and technology roles that are more than just fulfilling and packing and sorting boxes. Overall, Amazon's presence in Michigan is now up to 21,000 full and part-time jobs, and indirectly supporting about 32,000 jobs on top of that too. There's when I was living in Grand Rapids, there was a huge expansion in a large center that they built there. It was at the time running a business, pulling a lot from available employees out of that, but they've, of course, also invested in our airports, as we see Grand Rapids Airport and their apron, which people don't know what an apron is in an airport. It's overall availability or space, right, for planes has been increased for Amazon, too. So, again, as a Michigan resident, it's very interesting to see. Overall, they're going to be investing over $1.2 billion across the U.S. To upskill over 300,000 employees. And they're going to be partnering with local universities and colleges as well. That's, again, across the United States as a whole. So kids out there looking to go to college, maybe check out how that investment from Amazon, what they're doing, and see, of course, if you, I'm sure in some situations with interning with them or working with them throughout school, I would definitely look into those before of course, taking out loans or anything else in that regards. Again, very happy to see the Detroit residents going to, of course, benefit off of this. Much needed jobs in the area, but also, like I said, investment from into the community too. Great to see more of that update within the transit center and, of course, community parks being built as well. Again, we'll save the back and forth on if Amazon is helping communities or not. And hey, we'll watch and see how Detroit grows around this too. But as a Michigan resident, gotta point that one out. This one is going to be a little to step aside, focus more on the retail side of things. Crocs, who's got them? Not me, but other people do. I'm very close to buying a pair of Crocs just because I've been hearing how comfortable they are. I love the fact that you can customize them, and love seeing a lot of these brand. I guess crossovers with Crocs too. I know there's a Barbie situation. There's a tons of other different, if you have Crocs, you know what they're called, the little buttons that you put in the shoes as well. I love seeing the different types of brands that they partner with to, of course, sell more. And that's working out for them because they actually just hit in their recent earnings $1 billion in Q2. That's 11.2% year-over-year revenue growth for the quarters. Absolutely amazing to see. I mean, I think Crocs is someone that's has really pushed against the odds, right? I think there was when they first came out there big, there's a little bit of a, I think, fall off of if they were cool or not, but they've held steady throughout all this time, and their net income also rose about 32%. $212.4 million. Their direct-to-consumer revenue is up 26% and wholesale just up 0.2%. So a lot of people are going directly to them too, I'm sure, especially take advantage of those branding deals as well.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Now, the full revenue for the company, their expectations have lowered to 14 to 18% increase. Crocs in particular, though, they raised their brand, their expectations for the brand up to 12 to 13%. It's pretty interesting. I think what's very interesting about this, too, is they've expanded their distribution because they're experiencing issues with Amazon's gray market. Now, if you don't know what a gray market is, it refers to products that are actually sold legally, but outside of a brand's permission. So copycats in a way, right? So they were heavily on Amazon. They took themselves off of that, or at least a lot of their products off of that, because, of course, they are competing against legal, but replicates of their own brand. So doing that, that's why I think we saw such an increase in their direct-to-consumer revenue, right? 26%. In that area too. So they're also working on adjusting certain policies with their wholesale partners, specifically Amazon in particular, right? In order to avoid those issues in the future. So there we go. We got a little bit of bad Amazon news into the episode too. The biggest concern from their CEO in their earnings call was, yes, just that Amazon gray market, but they do plan to address that throughout the quarter. Which, right, makes sense, because into the next quarter, they're going to really be revving up, I'm sure, for the holiday season. So it's not like you want to avoid that marketplace. There's people, Amazon Prime members, who probably will want to buy Crocs through the space. So just working, of course, with that wholesaler, with Amazon, to make sure that they are getting the brand recognition that they deserve. And, of course, doing away with some of the replicates that they're seeing or competing with as well. I think that's pretty huge. Last but not, definitely not least, Walmart. Yes, I found a way to put it in here. I did. And I try to avoid, I honestly try, the last couple episodes, I try to avoid it. You guys know I love Walmart. So it's like, at this point, I think it's just, the world is bringing the Walmart news to me. But this one in particular, if you are a fan of the show, listen to past episodes, well, you know exactly where I'm going with this. Talking about Flipkart. Now, Walmart actually acquired more shares of Flipkart from Tiger Global this past week. They paid $1.4 billion for the larger stake in the India-based e-commerce company. Now, again, we've talked about Flipkart in the past because, for me, I think it's one of their greatest global attributes, especially when we look at their earnings and what they're doing globally as well. I think this is, I want to say short-term, but also long-term, really great hedge for the company. I mean, we're talking about a very large emerging economy out of India. As more and more individuals get cell phones in their hands and service in a lot of the areas that doesn't get internet or cell phone service today, that's just going to their e-commerce purchasing is going to increase over and over again. And Flipkart is the number one place that they go in order to purchase their goods. So I am not surprised to see this. I was very happy to see this. And I think anyone, especially holding stock in Walmart as well, is probably very happy to see this too. Now, of course, they love having Tiger Global's involvement with it. And I think that's really the confidence that had them put in more for the Flipkart itself. Now, in 2018, Walmart did become Flipkart's largest shareholder with about $16 billion, that gave them a 77% stake in the business. The transaction values Flipkart at approximately $35 billion now. It is down, though. We'll get into actually some other down markets here in a few minutes, but that is down from about a $38 billion valuation just 2 years ago in 2021. I can guarantee that's probably why Walmart decided to make this investment, right? While these down valuations are happening, I think we're going to see big retailers putting a little bit more money where it counts. And again, I think this is a very great hedge for Walmart globally. And if, hey, if the product becomes a little less valuable and you can buy more of it at a cheaper rate than you did the first time around, why not go for it? And as well as, of course, this work, they're looking to see, Walmart in particular is looking to see double-digit top-line growth from both Flipkart, Walmart Mexico, and their China business throughout the year. And in recent calls, Doug McMillon, which is Walmart's CEO, has highlighted Flipkart as positive performers. Of course, that makes sense, seeing that they have such an emerging market in their hands. I think we're going to see more and more action out of Flipkart too as they grow. And hey, again, if that valuation does go down, if we do see the economy struggling for a little bit longer globally, maybe even buying more of that too. According to Walmart's international CEO, Judith McKenna, she describes India as the company's most mature marketplace. They're expecting, I'm sure, to see more growth out of that too. And we'll see exactly where their investments go in Mexico and Canada as well. So again, happy to see that. And shareholders, I'm sure you're happy that Walmart got that purchase in just right there when the perfect timing at a lower value too. And like I said, that's actually going to be a common theme today as we dive into good old ultra fast delivery. Remember it like it was yesterday. We're stuck in our homes and the only thing we wanted was, well, our foods and our snacks and our groceries and anything else we could think of buying delivered to us ASAP because we had nowhere to go and only money to spend on things. Well, that's flipped. Looking today, the consumer is definitely not as confident in their purchases and isn't looking too positive anytime soon as well. So because of that, you've just seen funding completely collapse in the ultra-fast delivery market. So just to name a few of these companies that we're going to be talking about, we're talking about GoPuff, Getter, Gorilla, Bolt, Glovo, Flink, DoorDash, kind of, but we'll talk about why DoorDash really doesn't fit in this as much, what they've done to kind of avoid just this market of ultra-fast delivery. But I will say, I've been against ultra-fast delivery for some time now. I don't have the clip of it, but I know I said on the radio about a year ago that my hot take was that ultra-fast delivery was not going to be worth the investment. At the end of the day, who truly needs something in 15 minutes? If I need something in 15 minutes, I'll probably drive out and get it. And I probably won't pay the extra fees to do so. And on top of that, in order to build an ultra fast delivery network, you have to have assets that are ready to go ultra fast. And we're already seeing, of course, companies lose out on gig economy workers. So I don't know how we're going to see as time goes on, unless these jobs become so attractive and we start paying drivers to just basically sit outside fulfillment centers, I don't see the growth of this. So Grace, bring us some stats before you just tell us personally what you think. Well, in 2021, investment in ultra-fast delivery peaked at about $7.8 billion. That was nearly a third of total food and delivery, food and meal delivery funding for that whole year. However, we saw that throughout 2022, that dropped significantly by 72% and is continuing to fall off the charts. If we can bring up that that funding, perfect. You can see, yeah, real peak right there in 2021 and just completely fell off the map. Even into this year, 2023, only three deals compared to the 46 we saw in 2021. With less than almost half of $1 billion, right? Which still feels like a lot. And as we, of course, dive into this, some of the top funding companies from that time, GoPuff led the pack with $3.4 billion, followed by Getter and Bolt, each of them right about $1.9 billion. We saw Gorillas, Globo, and Flink, also grab a significant amount of funding. And of course, what's interesting is I think we're going to see a lot of these companies potentially be looked at as some really interesting acquisitions. I mean, just like we talked about with Flipkart, Flipkart's value goes down. Well, why not pick it up for the pennies on the dollar? And this is the same thing here. Getter in particular, they fell from $11.8 billion in valuation to $8.8 billion. And that was after acquiring Gorillas. And Flake now is actually looking for funding as well at about a $5 billion valuation, which is also lower. Now, it's interesting. I think we're going to see some consolidation in this space. Gorillas and Global were acquired for less than 3x their revenue, while private companies might vary closer to like 7x all the way up to 18, 19 revenue as well. And the lower revenue multiples will suggest that those valuations could continue to decrease, and potentially affecting investors returning to those investments too. Again, I think what we're going to see out of this is just a lot of consolidation. As those valuations fall, you'll see the big guys, GoPuff in particular, probably scoop up some of these. I think Investors Rate will likely invest if they see those valuations fall. But right now, investors, they want to see that profit. Uber in particular, I think just last couple days ago, finally reached profit after years and years and years and years. And the fact that we're talking about a market in particular that's continuing to fall off, it might not be the best investment if you're looking at different, especially supply chain investments at this time. I think we're going to see grocery retailers really look into either partnering with some of these companies or acquiring them fully themselves. There's a lot of companies out there that I think are looking for more competitive marketplaces, or in this particular driver marketplaces, right? So we'll see exactly what happens in that. The biggest thing, though, is as long as we are sitting in this kind of recessionary period, it's likely not going to see these valuations tick up fast. I mean, I was just on to talk about DoorDash, right? DoorDash is a little bit different than these because they have invested in different areas of revenue generation. Not only does DoorDash try to at least do a quick delivery, which I will say to say 15 minutes is not common on the app, but they also are working with UPS to pick up your packages. They've worked with grocers. They have, of course, alcohol deliveries. There's other areas that they've invested in that make them a little bit different than others. So they're still leading the pack in terms of what I would say on-demand delivery. But in terms of like this quick, we want to set up these micro-fulfillment centers, not so much. Now, they did note that if those micro fulfillment centers or like someone like GoPuff, who actually created like their own ghost kitchens to sell pizza, again, that's a different type of revenue generator. And that's what's kind of helped them lead the pack and hold on to a valuation. So if these quick delivery companies can find, again, different ways to generate revenue, you might see those valuations pop up. But it's very unlikely, as a lot of them have gone through layoffs, right? So you don't have as many people working in engineering or working, especially in this environment, on new products. It's likely that they're improving the products that are bringing them some type of revenue today. Competition is steep out there. So again, I think we'll see a lot of M&A action where those who are really struggling to showcase any path to profitability will get picked up in some type of way. And again, if those who do survive, will likely see that come from that revenue generation, from focusing on other areas like higher margin products or even prepared foods like GoPuff has done with their ghost kitchens as well. And those are the big topics for today. And you know what? I do have one other thing. So you guys all know I love retail freight technology. I got a shout out. It's not a positive one. I'll give it a little bit of positivity. Target. I was on their app yesterday. So you know what? I'll be honest with what I was trying to buy. Kylie Jenner and Bratz have now partnered. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to be the good aunt and I'm going to go get that partnership, that limited partnership toy from Target. Well, shout out to their app. Their app is cool because it does show you where the product is available. It tells you what stores you can pick up today, pick up tomorrow, what is in stock today. A lot of transparency, right? It also has a really cool function where once you get to the store, you can click a button and it'll show you a little map of the store where you are and where that product is. And now this is where transparency takes a wrong turn. I did not want to ask for help because I was already embarrassed of the product that I was buying. So I decided to just use the map. Well, that led to me just pretty much being lost in the Barbie section for about a good 15 to 20 minutes. And I would like to say, as great as these applications are, that showcases to you that there's still a lot more work to be done. So Target, shout out to how cool your app is, but negative shout out to the areas that you can fix, right? Just because we have an idea of where a product should be, until we start using like RFID tags or some type of better transparency tools, the shopper is still lost and still can't find the product. And guess what? It wasn't even on the shelves. It was in the back the whole time. So it shows you we got a lot of room to grow, even with someone as big and as technology savvy as Target itself. Now, for everyone out there, point of sale is a community. So make sure you guys head to freightwaves.com/POS and sign up for a newsletter so you get that in your inbox every single day, every single week on Monday. Or you can click the newsletter button at the top of the Freightwaves front page, and that will get you to that too. And then make sure you check out all of our podcasts. We're on YouTube and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just make sure you like and subscribe so we know what content you're into as well. And leave a comment. Let us know what else you'd like us to showcase over time too. And other than that, everyone, thank you so much for checking out the show. Keep buying stuff so we have stuff to talk about next week. And I will talk to you all soon.